you say good morning to our Denver 7 Insider, Colorado Sportscaster of the Year, Troy Ranke's, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. Good morning, Troy.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Doing really good, Troy. Hey, real quick, just these five candidates, George Payton, Champ Kelly, Dave Ziegler, Terry Fontenot, Brian Stark. Just do you have any insight into any of these guys and kind of how this search is going right now?
Yeah, I mean, Champ Kelly has been a favorite since the moment the job became open. He worked for the Broncos from 07 to 14, credited with making some key decisions for that Super Bowl roster of 15 players. Love him, advocate for him. George Payton is different. He's the most experienced of the group, Mark. He's had opportunities to leave both for the Browns and Jets where he was finalist, but he's been very selective in jobs he interviewed for. He basically stepped away from the Browns one because he didn't trust the ownership situation. So that one, he might have more leverage than any of the other candidates and would need clear assurance that John Elway is not going to meddle. I don't think he would, but they would certainly have to have insurances for that. Dave Ziegler worked for the Broncos. He came over with Josh McDaniels, which, you know, fans hear that. Certainly they raised their eyebrows, but he stayed after McDaniels left, worked with Fox and Elway, has worked his way up in the Patriots organization. Terry Fontenot started as a marketing intern for the Saints and has made his way into pro personnel, well-respected, just interviewed with the Falcons. And then the in-house candidate, Brian Stark. He's a rising star in the business. Their optics would be tough to stay in-house to feel like that's significant change. But Stark has certainly made his name as the college scouting director of the Broncos because their drafts have improved from 18 to 20. But that's where we stand now. Again, Kelly's, for me, still a slight favorite just because of the nature of the position and his experience at Denver.
What should we make of the fact that no John Dorsey, no Thomas Dimitroff, no Rick Smith, no Adam Peters, like no name, like really name value people that have done the job before, have had success before. Not that these guys haven't had success, but have done it at the general manager position. What should we read anything into that, that those guys aren't even getting interviews?
Well, it's an attractive job, but it's a complicated and tricky job because of the fact that John Elway's still here, so you'd be working literally and figuratively in his shadow. Even I don't think he will meddle, but again, that is still one of the issues there. He could be gone in a year. Joe Ellis is going to be gone in March of 2022, and then you have unstable ownership, a coach who's still trying to find his way in Vic Fangio, and uncertainty at quarterback. So it's not an ideal job if you're a veteran GM who's done it before and you've walked in these shoes. You know the pratfalls, and it's easier if a veteran guy to say, you know what, I might sit this one out, or this, if I'm going to get back into it, I might only have one more chance. I don't know that this can be a long-term situation. So that's why I think you're seeing guys who, you know, have never done the job before because they would be eager to try and maybe they can pull it off. But the more veteran guys you mentioned, I think maybe they don't even have interest, but they would be more paused from a veteran GM looking at this situation outside looking in.
Busy with a Troy Rank. Are you surprised there's only five candidates?
For now, I mean, I know there's two reasons there's five. What they had a bigger list of around 20 and narrowed it down, which is smart. You know, you cast a wide net and eventually you have to start picking guys you want to interview. And I think if the interviews don't go right, you could certainly expand the search. But the other thing they're working on, there's so many teams with GM openings right now and you're working on a timeline. You can't let me drag this out for 2 weeks. I would think there'll be a GM hired by the middle of next week, frankly. So that's part of it. Now, it doesn't mean you rush the decision, but they are working against, you know, six other openings still. I mean, it's, or five counting theirs. I mean, it's, there's a weird urgency to that, that if you just keep dragging your feet, some of these players are going to come off the board, but could it expand? Yes, Mike. I thought it would be 7 to 8. They've narrowed it to 5, and we'll go from here. But I expect a decision by early to mid next week.
How about the decision on the quarterback? What is right now, as the organization sits, what is the plan at the quarterback position?
Well, again, with John Elway not doing the day-to-day operations, Drew Lock lost his best advocate in the building. Elway wanted Lock to succeed. He drafted him. It doesn't mean Drew can't succeed, but that doesn't help Drew Lock. Where it sits now, it's just more likely that he would have competition in camp off-season, however you phrase it. what would that competition look like? Well, we need to figure out, you know, who the new GM is. Would that be through the draft? Would that be through a veteran signing, a trade? You know, would they swing big for a Matthew Stafford? I think that's unlikely right now, but that could change. A draft pick would be odd because of the other holes in the organization, you know, and that person wouldn't necessarily play as a rookie. So it might work against, you know, taking a pick. I mean, you could argue they should, but I don't know that that would be the strategy. And then that's that next wave of the Andy Daltons, Gardner Minshews, Jacoby Brissett, that group of kind of guys. I do expect that where they are now with the quarterback is that they know they need competition for Drew Lock. They can't just go in and just assume he's going to make significant strides. He might. I hope for Lock he does, but I think they understand you've got to bring in legitimate competition for him.
All right. It's unlikely he's made available, but if Deshaun Watson goes on the trade block, how far would you be willing to go to bring him here?
Yeah, he's one guy I push all the chips to the center of the table for. That price is so outrageous. You'd have to really swallow hard. If you're talking multiple ones, multiple twos, a three. I mean, it maybe even a young player going back in the deal. But for the difference from Watson and trading up for Trevor Lawrence, and I like Trevor Lawrence, who wouldn't? Deshaun Watson's proven he is in the conversation of the top five quarterbacks in the league. Depending on how you rank them, he's in that conversation. And he's certainly not outside anybody's top 10. That's the kind of guy you need to win in the NFL. So that if I'm going to go all in, I'm going to go all in for a guy like Deshaun Watson, who's proven it on the field, who's a leader, who's a guy who has won huge games throughout his career, both in the pros and college, character guy. Like, that's the kind of guy I would go all in for, Mike. But Watson's upset. He's disappointed with the Patriots. It's not unlike the Nolan Arenado-Breidich thing. He's being told one thing by management, and then it never happens, and now he's like, what the heck? What are we doing here? And there's a real issue with Jack Easterby in Houston, where people, I mean, it's no. All you have to do is read the stories that there's a weird, weird, weird dynamic going on there right now, and players are upset, and Watson felt like he's been lied to. So, but would he force his way out? Could he force his way out? There's no motivation to trade him. He would have to make it so uncomfortable for them to get a deal moving. I don't know that he's willing to do that, but I would go all in for Deshaun Watson, yes.
As would I. Hey, last one for me. Vic Fangio, obviously the new GM is going to be saddled with Vic Fangio. Likelihood that Vic Fangio makes it past 2021 based on what he has done so far in his first 2 years?
That's a great question. I mean, because he'd be working under a new GM, and more likely Elway could be done after next season. So it's an important year for Fangio. The likelihood, I would say there's two things helping him. One, third year of experience should help him. I would, as a new GM, I would insist/demand he has a clock management guy in the booth to help him with that. Maybe even insist that Ed Donatell call the defense. I don't know that it would come to that, but they've got to have a clock management guy in the booth. And the one thing that's helping them, they're going to have a last place schedule. I know people, you know, roll their eyes at that, but you look at the playoff teams, most of the playoff teams got in this year, their strength of schedule was easy. That will help the Broncos to get, I'm talking about playing meaningful games in December where you have a chance to go 8-8, 9-7. So I think that's the chance that you could say, yeah, he could in year three get to right there where you would say, okay, new GM, we'll give it one more spin at the wheel here. But it's a bit important year for Vic, no way around it.
Yeah, okay, I get that. But if we're going based on what we heard the other day, Vic's going to have a lot of input into who gets hired. So wouldn't that GM sort of feel a certain amount of loyalty to Vic if Vic helps him get the job?
Yeah, I don't. It's just backward. I mean, I've never seen a head coach who's 12-20 have leverage over the GM signing. All these examples that we talk about, it's a coach coming in new to the job, like Kyle Shanahan, and then bringing in John Lynch. Like, it's not go 2 years without being over 500 one day in 2 years and then get to hire your GM. That's not the dynamic that we're familiar with in the NFL. But you're right, there would be some ties to it, but would that person be tied at the hip to him like John Elway was? I don't think so. I think that would be a little different. But you're right, they would have to have a relationship. It just feels like to me they're saying, Vic, you need to be comfortable with this GM because the clock's ticking on you. So that's why they don't want to just bring in some GM that has no relationship with Vic and then all of a sudden it just sours, you know, 4 weeks into the season. But I just, for me, Fangio's got to prove it on the field as a head coach. I know he's a great defensive coordinator. We all do. He's got to prove it as a head coach, not worry about work, you know, roster construction. I don't need him to worry about that. I just need him to coach better on game day.
All right, Troy, have a great weekend. Enjoy your football. Don't move from that couch.
See you guys.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air.